Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our continuing 2019-2020 preseason coverage. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica, David Griggs, John Titel. We are here for the Atlantic 10 podcast. So if you're looking for the American, David, we look...
Up there.
And we look for the Mountain West or the West Coast. It's
down there.
Okay. But we are recording all four of these simultaneously, so you can watch them all at the same time.
Yep.
But... this is the Atlantic 10 podcast, a conference that last season almost was a single bid league had not VCU gotten upset in the conference tournament and St. Louis stole that automatic bid. David, are we going the same way again this year or can we expect some?
I don't think so. Of course, I think I said that last year. It was all in all a disappointing year for the Atlantic 10, and that's putting it nicely, but it's still, unlike even the Mountain West, as a down year and in one of the more poor performing years ever, they still had a team inside the bubble. So with a lot of teams bringing back a lot of experience, I think you're going to see a step up this year. I like this league. I've mentioned before, I don't know if you've been following the recaps and responses. I know that these are kind of contradictory things to say, but I don't think this league gets enough appreciation or respect. But having said that, I also think this league constantly underachieves, which I know that kind of contradicts each other. But this year, I think that we're going to see more than one team inside the bubble, maybe two or three.
Well, we do see VCU in the preseason top 25. Titel, they did win 26 games last year, made the NCAA tournament. Is this a team that should be back in it again this year?
Yes, this is the, if you like veteran teams pick, this is your pick. Malik Crowfield, DeRiante Jenkins, Isaac Van, Marcus Evans. This team's got seniors all over the court. They got a coach in Mike Rhodes. He's entering his third year, so it's now his guys that he recruited, although some of them are transfers. Van came from Maine. Evans came from Rice. He's the defending conference coach of the year. He worked for Shock at VCU back in the day. This is his team with his guys, and I think they're going to make it back to the NCAA tournament.
Stalica, you agree with that? Is this VCU team going to win the conference? Let's ask that other question.
I would probably say they're going to be one of the co-favorites, but another very experienced and loaded team I'm going to be looking at is going to be the Davidson Wildcats. You get your top two guys back in Kellen Grady and John Axel Goodmanson, but you've also got some other supporting cast guys in Luke Frampton, Luka Brogovic, and Kashawn Pritchett that will also be able to help what should be certainly one of the better offensive teams. We'll see how they are able to do on the defensive end.
But go ahead.
If you're looking for Davidson to make hay this year, they're going to have to do it in the Orlando Invitational, where they'll be on the same side of the bracket as Marquette, USC, and Fairfield. But not too many other notable games outside of that.
Well, David, we've got, I guess, two teams with a lot of experience coming back in VCU and Davidson. What do you think is the better of the two?
VCU. They were better last year, so with the same roster, why wouldn't there? With a lot coming back, I think the team that was better last year with a lot coming back will continue to be the better team this year with a lot coming back. I do like this Davidson team in general or the program. Bob McKellop is an excellent coach, and if you just like fundamental basketball, they are a joy to watch. Stalica mentioned something that is they don't really test themselves that much, not just last year, but in a lot of years. I mean, typically they'll play a couple of heavyweights, but not the consistent a number. And then they're not tested in the Atlantic 10, but for a few times either. This is a team that won 23 games a year ago and was nowhere near the tournament. So that is something like – is that going to be a problem for them? It's just the overall strength of schedule this year.
Well, Titel, let me ask you the same question then. Who is the best team in this conference? Is it VCU or is it this Davidson team?
It is VCU, but it is very close because of all the reasons enumerated previously. The backcourt of Grady and Goodmanson could be among literally the best in the country. They're that good. Goodmanson, I think, unquestionably the best player in Iceland basketball history. I mean, come on.
Of that Icelandic basketball history. Strong tradition. Beyond these two, Stalica, is this going to be a two-bid league, or is there a third team that looks like an NCAA tournament team as well heading into the year?
they're only going to have four returning starters, but I think Dayton also has the goods to at least make a serious NCAA run this year. They're not going to have Josh Cunningham back, but you're still going to have sophomore sensation Obi Toppin, as well as upperclassmen Trey Landers, Jalen Crutcher, and Ryan Mikesell to give them some depth. They're going to be part of the Maui Invitational that includes Georgia and either Michigan State or Virginia Tech on their half. But they are actually going to be testing themselves, unlike Davidson. They'll be playing St. Mary's and Colorado.
Yeah, Tytel, a lot of talent on this Dayton roster, but you know, is Anthony Grant going to get them to play together and win some games here?
I think so. Much like we discussed with Coach Gregory, this is a guy who won an NCAA championship as an assistant. Gregory under Izzo in 2000, Grant under Billy Donovan at Florida in 06. So they know what it takes to get there and then win once they get there. Toppin's a fascinating story. Conference Rookie of the Year last year. This is a guy who's grown 7 inches over the past 3 years. He dominated the NIT, even though they lost to Colorado, 21 points on 9 of 13 shooting. Only a sophomore. If he can stay healthy, I think he's got a very high ceiling, because I think he's going to stick around for 4 years, and I think he's going to keep getting better and maybe keep getting taller.
Well, David, these three teams, I do agree that these are the three best teams. I don't know if you do as well. Is there a fourth team that you think could sneak in there and be either a fourth bid or steal one of these three bids that we've discussed?
Not that I'm seeing. You kind of go down the list. I think Rhodey, while not as good, certainly not as good as they were in the Hurley years, I still think that they're going to be maybe in the next level. There is a team that I am excited about this year, though, and it's kind of a funny thing to say because they've been a traditional bottom feeder.
Do they play in Pittsburgh?
They do.
All right.
Keith Ambrott and Duquesne, they won 19 games a year ago. And not that that's phenomenal, but for Duquesne, it is just out of this world phenomenal. They really kind of finished the season on a limp after looking pretty good prior to that. But with four starters back with an outstanding coach, I think that they may be poised to have one of the best years they've had in the last 20 years.
Yeah. I got to say that the decision by Eric Williams to leave, I mean, if he was back this year for Duquesne, I would might be picking them to finish in the top three in this conference.
Yeah, I know. You kind of hated to see him go.
Mm-hmm. This is also going to be a team that's not going to have a real true home game this year, because the Palumbo Center is undergoing renovations and will be rebranded as the Cooper Fieldhouse. So they're actually going to be splitting games among Robert Morris, PPG Paints downtown, and also a local junior college. And I think even one home game is actually going to be at a Firestone High School in Akron, Ohio.
That's interesting.
Well, Tytel, anyone else that can make any noise in this conference that you're looking at, or are we just kind of ready to move on to the next league?
It's a bit slim pickings. I would not sleep on I think Rhodey has some nice pieces in place, especially veterans, but yeah, I don't think anybody else jumps off the page as a serious contender.
I guess one team that I looked at a little bit, though, was this George Mason team. You know, they lost Livingston, but have much of the rest of the team back. And maybe this is a team that could make a little noise, David, or no?
We were expecting them to be good a year ago, and they weren't. I mean, especially in the beginning of the year, they absolutely weren't. They were just flat. They showed signs of what they could have been, and if they can get up to that ceiling, they can make some noise. I'm not predicting it, but, I mean, I could see it happening.
Stalika, St. Louis was an NCAA tournament team last year, but too much gone from that, even that team that – came out of, a 6 or 7 seed to win the conference tournament.
Yeah, the only notable returners for St. Louis are going to be Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French, but they'll at least have good memories of the A-10 championship, the Arch Baron Cup.
Yes, Arch Baron Cup. Oh, wait till we do the Big West.
Tytel, Richmond, anything there? That this team was horrible on defense last year, but isn't there a little bit of talent maybe?
Yes, one of those teams that is the classic small man, big man led teams, a two-man game. You got Jacob Gilliard as the 5'9 point guard, tons of assists and can score. Up front, you got Grant Golden, the junior power forward. He has a huge basketball tradition. His whole family plays. He had to get a medical redshirt a couple years ago. He collapsed in a game against Texas Tech. It seems like he's back and, more importantly, healthy. not sure if I'm going to get behind a coach like Chris Mooney, who went to a little school called Princeton. But besides that, I think they have a nice little junior class. I think they're a year away, if they all come back and are healthy, from being serious contenders next year.
But the problem is they're probably going to be on the hot seat because they're coming off back-to-back 20 loss seasons, which is very unusual by Richmond standards.
Yeah.
David, the Bonnies, 18-16 last year.
Yeah, after starting off 1-12, I think, it wasn't that bad. I've got them confused with somebody else, but they did not start off well. I think they were 0-5 or 0-6 or 1-6 or something like that. Much better in the latter part of the season than they were at the beginning. So some of that momentum, they should be better this year, but I don't think that they're so much better that they're inside the bubble.
A team that might be a little interesting to watch this year, Tytel, is this UMass team. Matt McCall, totally cleaned house, you know, I think all new players, all new coaching staff, everybody gone, but has a pretty good recruiting class. I think I've heard one of the best in the A-10 this year.
Sure. The fact that I can't name two guys on his roster makes me think that unless they are McDonald's All-Americans like Hardaway's bringing in.
No, not quite.
They're not going to do anything, but I wish that LaWayne Pipkins was still around to do some things. Sadly, he's went to, I believe, Providence, where he should shine this year. I think the cupboard is looking very bare up in the great state of Massachusetts.
I'll let you sleep. Let me ask you about this. LaSalle, anything there or no? I mean, I guess we're really digging at the bottom here, aren't we?
It's going to be the second season under the Ashley Howard regime, but they've still got a long way to go.
And Pookie Powell is gone, so there goes, you know, what was exciting to watch about the LaSalle team. David, Jamie and Christian coming in to take over at GW.
Yeah, he's got his work cut out for him.
even worse than that, Tytel, you and I both having some Philly ties. What the hell happened in St. Joe's last year? And I mean, was this one of the worst firings of a head coach ever? And is this disaster for the Hawks?
By ruining my final thought. Yes, it is. Billy Lyon comes in to replace. It's okay. Phil Martelli. Martelli wasn't just a good coach. He was a legend at St. Joe's. I'm talking 400-plus wins. 2004, this magical season. They went 27-0 in the regular season, made the Elite Eight. He was named National Coach of the Year. He's been to the NIT many times and almost won it twice, runner-up twice. He's been to six NCAA tourneys. He was hired recently by Juwan Howard to be an assistant at Michigan. But a lot of pressure on Billy Lang to replace him. I don't know what kind of reaction he's going to get from the fans. The things that Coach Lang does have going for him is his pedigree. Assistant to a couple of Philly legends. Herb McGee, the Hall of Fame coach at Philadelphia University, and a little guy named Jay Wright at Villanova, Lang coached for him as well. So pedigree's nice, but cupboard is bare, and expectations and the footsteps to fill are enormous.
Right. Also, we do have to note that Fordham is a member of the Atlantic 10. But on
there
that note,
there are bare cupboards, and then there are no cupboards whatsoever.
There are no cupboards. Not only does the cupboard need to be filled, the house which contains the cupboard needs to be built.
Yeah, well, there's a 14-team league, and, you know, a top 14 finish would probably be about what I expect for Fordham. So, on that note, let's run through each of you for any other final thoughts on the A-10, as well as tell me how many teams you think the conference does get. I'll start with myself. I think it's definitely going to be at least a two-bid league with VCU and Davidson, and I could see if Dayton getting the third bid. I guess I'll go with a Tytel 2.5 over-under. But, Sleeka, what do you think?
I think you're looking at a three-bid league this year with some of the power leagues being down. It's definitely going to be VCU, Davidson, and Dayton, but I just don't see anyone really sneaking in to get the automatic bid this year. But as far as other final thoughts go, this is also going to be the 40th anniversary of the 50th anniversary for St. Bonaventure's Final Four team back in 1970 that starred Bob Lanier. That was the Final Four that also featured UCLA, New Mexico State, and Jacksonville.
Wow. 50 years.
I mean, New Mexico State's pretty good this year, but what the hell happened to the other three teams?
So I'm going to stick in the great state of Ohio with Dayton. They got a senior shooting guard in Trey Landers, who I think can help – take the over with the 2.5. I think I agree VCU and Davidson are near slam dunk. I think Dayton can squeeze in, if Coach Grant is as good a coach as I think he is, which he is. But so he's got Trey Landers on his team. Sadly, I don't think that Trey's family is going to give him their undivided attention in the months ahead, because he has a brother, Robert, who plays football at a little school called The Ohio State University. So wouldn't it be nice if Trey's busy at some like tough road game in January while his brother Robert, who was a defensive tackle, might be winning a national championship?
Might be. We'll see if we get there. I think there's a little team named Alabama that may have a word on that. But David, let me let you finish the show off.
I do think that this league is going to be better this year. I could see, I think three teams will either be inside the bubble or at least in the conversation in Dayton, Davidson, and VCU, and maybe another one if they can sneak up there. One of the things that kind of sunk the lead last year was the sheer number of bye games that they lost. And again, you're talking about losing the teams outside the top 100, outside the 200, top 200, and losing a lot of them. I just think that statistically it sunk the league, and you should see less of that this year. And don't forget about this guy. I mean, we didn't mention him yet, but don't forget about Mountain McGillivray. Mountain.
Can you even say his name, David?
No, I can't
even say his name. All right. On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. Remember, if you look for the American, look up there. If you look for the Mountain West or the West Coast, look down there. But on behalf of John Slica, David Griggs, and John Tytel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again real soon.